Always good to see so many children in our church. Man, I tell you what, we have been blessed. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Titus. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Titus chapter 2, that's just a little book right before Philemon, after 2 Timothy. I'm not going to tell you what page, but you look it up in your book. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, once again, God, we just thank you so much for speaking to our heart today through these words. Lord, the salvation that you made possible for us, we thank you so much. And Lord, if there's one person here today, whether they're a member or whether they're a visitor, that, Lord, they don't know you personally. They've heard about you, but they don't have that personal relationship with you. Lord, today, they might, by faith, simply say, "Lord, I want you to come into my heart that I might live looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing." And God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. When I think of God's great gift of salvation, I think of one word, and that's grace. The grace of God, an unmerited favor. I guess you could say a better word for it is all that God has done for man. Grace, all that God has done for man. The Bible definition is all that God has done and is now doing and shall ever do for man. Now, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "For by the grace of God I am what I am." And you think about that. By the grace of God, you are what you are. Now, that's personal, isn't it? By the grace of God. You know, God is able, God is willing, and God is ready to do something in our lives. He's ready to do something this morning. I don't know why you're here. I don't know what you came for this morning or what you expected out of this service this morning. But when I came here, I expected to hear God speak to my heart. You see, God speaks to me just like he does you. Every single day, I listen and try to hear, what is God doing in my life today? For he does something in our life every day, whether you know it or not. He's there guarding, guiding, doing something in our life. You have a purpose in life. God has a purpose for you in life. He's got a purpose for you being here this morning. Now, I don't know what that purpose is. Only you know that. And you ought to ask God, "God, what are you trying to show me today?" And when I read this scripture, I see it's the grace of God that brings salvation. So when I think about the grace of God, I think about the saving grace of God. If somebody or if you or your children, if anybody here, anyone is to be saved, it will have to be by the grace of God. Daddy just sang a song. He came running and pulled me out of that pit. You know what? I was saved by His grace. I was running from God. God was looking for me. Think about it. God was looking for you the day you were saved. You might not have known that, but He was looking for you. The Bible says in Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's a gift of God. By nature, we are sinners. We're sinful creatures by nature. We don't have to be told to do wrong. It just comes naturally. We're very unhappy to change by our nature. Any spiritual interest that we might have, that has to come from God. You see, God wants us to serve Him. Now, I don't know about you, but we must be, the Bible says, born again. If we're ever to see the kingdom of God, you can come to church all you want to. You can be baptized all you want to. You can live a good life all you want to. But unless you are born again, that simply means unless Christ's Spirit comes into your heart, into your life, by His grace, you're not going to be saved. You see, Nicodemus was a man. He was a good man. He was a teacher. He knew all about the Bible. But Jesus said, "Nicodemus, unless you are born again." And boy, that just blew his mind. How can a man be born again? He said, "Lord, I don't understand this being born again." And He said, "Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must have the Spirit inside of your life." And then He went on to explain to Nicodemus how to be born again. You see, it's only by the grace of God that we're born again. Once upon a time, a young man came to G. Campbell Morgan and said, "Mr. Morgan, I find it hard to believe that all a man has to do is ask God to forgive him and he can be saved." He said, "I think that's pretty cheap." Well, he was a coal miner, and Mr. Morgan said, "Son, didn't you work in the mine today?" And the young man said, "Yes, I did." "Well, how did you get out of that mine?" He said, "Well, I just simply got on the elevator and rode to the top." He said, "Did it cost you anything?" He said, "Oh, no." "That's pretty cheap then, wasn't it?" He said, "Well, yeah, it was pretty cheap to me, but it cost a mine a lot of money to sink that shaft." And then it dawned on him. It cost God His Son. Salvation may be free to us, but Christ paid a heavy price. He gave His life upon the cross that you and I might live. Yeah, that seems to some people pretty cheap, but it's not. It cost God His Son. And no matter how we think we can live a good life, and a lot of people think, "Well, if I don't bother anybody, I go to church on Sunday, I read my Bible and do this, if I just be a good fellow, then one day God's going to let me into heaven." But He's not. He's not going to let them into heaven because He says, "You must come my way, not your way." You see, that was what's wrong with Cain. Cain thought he would come his way to God. But God says, "This is the way to come to me. You come by faith, trusting what I did on the cross, my death. Pay the price like a little child, simply by faith. Lord, I don't deserve it, but it's only by the grace of God I accept you as my Lord and Savior, realizing that I can do nothing." You know, that's saving grace. One could never do enough to bring them into a right relationship with God. God, it says, by the grace of God that brings salvation to all. I like that, to all. That means everyone in here can come to Christ. It doesn't matter what race you are. You see, God loves everyone. Doesn't matter what nationality, what language you speak, or anything like that. God says, by grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Doesn't matter if you're poor, doesn't matter if you're rich. That doesn't have any influence on God. He says, you come by the grace of God and be born again. That is saving grace. One day I was in that pit like Teddy was singing about. One day I sit in church pew. Man, I sit there all my life. But it was only when I was 21 years old that I realized I needed to be born again. And I asked God that day to come into my life. And you know what? He saved me that day. Oh, I'd been down and I'd been part of a church for 18 or 19 years, you see. I'd been on a church roll all my life, but I wasn't saved. I'd even been baptized. I went down into the mighty Angelina River. It was about as dirty as the Jordan River. And I got baptized there, but that baptism didn't save me. I just actually went swimming that day. It was when I was baptized, after I was saved when I was 21, somebody said, well, you were rebaptized. No. I was baptized for the first time then, because salvation always comes before baptism. You see, that's saving grace to all men. And then not only is grace a saving grace, in Philippians 1:6 it says it's a securing grace. Securing grace. Listen to what he says. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, who begun the good work? The good work was started by Jesus Christ. That was salvation. And he'll perform it to the day. Today, Christ calls me home. Listen, that little girl that was baptized a while ago, that was the first step when she came down. Second step was being obedient to God in baptism. Now, God is going to teach her, mature her, grow her into the very beautiful young Christian lady that he wants her to be in. And he will be doing that not over the next 2 years or 3 years, but all her life, ever how long that may be. God is still working in her life. God's still working, let me tell you, in your life. I got news for you. You haven't arrived yet. Some people think, oh, I've arrived at this Christian thing. I know it all. But when you think that, brother, you hadn't started yet. You see, you've just been teaching something. I don't know where you're thinking, but you've got to let God do the teaching. He's still working on me. I got news for you. He's still working on Bill and Tim and all these other preachers. Until the day he calls me home, he'll be working on me. Amen. When Jesus comes to take us home, you know what? My God is sufficient, and he is able in my life to keep my life secure in him. Some people think, well, we can lose our salvation. Once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. Now, a lot of people had never been saved, and we think they've lost it, but they never were saved, folks. A lot of people think they're saved, but when they get to heaven, they're going to find out they're not saved. But if you are secure in Christ Jesus, if he saves you, he can keep you committed to him against the day. The day he's called, and the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20 that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Our God is able. He's able to mature me. He's able to grow me. He's able to keep me. My God is able to make all grace abound towards me and towards you this morning, that you might be that person that God wants you to be and have all sufficiency in all things in life, he says. That's our God. We serve a great God. I don't know about you, but yeah, I like to stand up for Jesus. I like to exalt him, you see. I like to praise him. I didn't come here to gripe. I didn't come here to turn on the lights this morning. I came to worship God. Let him have my life and say, God, use me. I am secure in God's grace. Physically, I started to say mentally, but somebody would probably doubt that or amen that. Everything that God wants me to have, I've already got it. I don't have to worry about tomorrow because I'm secure in Christ Jesus. Whatever comes my way, you know, I don't know if I'm going to live past today, but if I don't, you can rest assured that I'm all right with Christ. I am secure in Christ. I want people to know when they meet me, I know Jesus Christ. He's the reason we live, you see. He's my life. He saved me, and I'm secure in him. Not only does grace save us and secure us, and I hope that's you this morning. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to come and make sure and know that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because if you're saved and you're secure in that, then guess what? He said, I want you to serve me. Uh-oh. Serve. A lot of people don't like that word. We want to be served. But God says, no, I want you to serve me. God saves us and God keeps us. And then he allows us or enables us to serve him. Now, if you're not serving God, you're probably not doing what he wants you to do. You see, for a person to say, well, preacher, there's nothing I can do, you're calling God a liar. Did you realize that? You're saying, God, you lied to me. You saved me for nothing. No, he saved you to serve him. You know, I'm not here to please everybody. I couldn't do it in 100 years. You know, I started out thinking, man, I'm going to please everybody in church. I'm going to have a church. Everybody's going to be so happy and all amening and everything. To go. That was a pipe dream. You cannot make everybody happy. I'm not even sure I make one or two happy. But you know what? God says, Booney, you don't have to make them happy. You make me happy. You serve me, and you let me take care of everything else. And you know, when I realized that, oh, it released me. It freed me up. It freed me up to serve God wholeheartedly. You see, we're saved by to serve. And the Bible says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are to serve God. Titus 3:8 says we are to maintain good works. You know, that means that when we know Christ, we're going to serve God, do good things for God. You know, most of us are saying, well, I can't serve, preacher. You know, people that say I can't serve don't understand. You know, that is a lie from Satan himself. You've got a position. You've got a service to do for God. Let's get honest with each other, okay? Let's just get honest for a minute. You were saved by his grace. He has secured you in that salvation. And then I said, since you're secure, you can serve. You can. God says you can. But if you're honest, you won't. You know why you won't? You've got to make a commitment. You've got to make a commitment. It might take a little effort. It might take a little effort. And you know what? We talked about it in our Sunday school class this morning. In today's society, we're too busy pleasing ourselves. Amen. We want to please. I want to do what I want to on Sunday. I'm not going to come up here early and pray. You know, I got to sleep in late this morning. I stayed up 12 o'clock last night. So did I. You do what you want to do. I hear people all the time say, well, preacher, I just didn't feel good Sunday morning. Let me tell you something. With that attitude, you never will feel good, because the devil is going to make you feel bad on Sunday morning. Saturday night, you felt good. Monday morning, you felt good. You know, when I feel bad and I think, well, Lord, I think I'll just stay home tonight, let somebody else preach for me. He always says, what are you going to do in the morning? Man, Lord, why did you bring Monday morning up? I had planned to go. That's what I thought you'd plan to do. If you don't feel good about going to church, you won't feel good on Monday morning. We don't want to, do we? There's three kinds of servants in the world. Listen to them. One is a slave. A slave serves because he has to. He serves out of fear, usually. And then Jesus says, there's the hirelings. We serve, he says, for wages. Hirelings serve for wages. And then there's the last. Teddy mentioned it a while ago. A son. We serve because we love the Father. Amen. Somebody asked me the other day, we were talking, and they said, why didn't you do this when you were a boy? I did a lot of things that was rotten. But you know what? I never crossed the line when it was going to hurt my father or my mother. I said, I will not bring shame to my father or my mother, because I love them too much. Because they love me. I tell you, children, think about your father and your mother. Don't bring shame to the family. Just don't do it. And then I say, children, don't bring shame to the father. And I'm not talking about the youth. I'm talking about all of us. We're God's children, aren't we? Don't bring shame to the Father. Live your life holy, pleasing. If you lived your life holy and pleasing to God, think about it. If everybody would live their life holy and pleasing to God, what happened last week would not have happened, would it? What happens today, even in Gun Barrel, sin's going on. Somebody wrote something real ugly on our building last week, and Tony cleaned it up. Oh, those children need God, or those people need God. If we loved God, that wouldn't happen. If we loved each other, those things wouldn't happen. Now, which are you? Are you a slave? Are you a hireling? Are you a son? If you're a son, you're going to serve God. Not only that, I see God saved us. He secured us. We're serving. And I see a sustaining grace. a sustaining grace. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, can I take another step? Have you ever been that tired? You just work and work and work and work and work, and you feel like, Lord, I just can't take another step. I can't go any further. Life sometimes gets almost unbearable. You see? Almost unbearable. Been in those church meetings where, boy, oh man, Lord, I don't know if I can stand these people another minute. And you're probably sitting there, Lord, I don't know if I can stand that preacher another minute. Life's like that, isn't it? Everybody yakking, 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 yakking. And you said, oh, Lord, I poured everything I've got into these people, and they still don't get it. And you're sitting there saying, Lord, I told everything about that preacher I know, and he still don't get it. And God says, why can't you just love one another? And then I think Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was. Some say it might have been, I can't even think of it now, epilepsy. Could have been one of these deacons. I don't know. You never know what it was. It doesn't tell us. But you know what God said, Paul? He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. And you know what? I think God's grace is sufficient. When I feel like I can't go another step, I'm ready to throw in the towel, I'm ready to quit, I'm saying, Lord, I've had enough of this. He said, Booney, my grace is sufficient. You were saved by it. You're secure in it. You serve in it. Now let me sustain you by it. And oh man, let me tell you something. We don't have to carry that burden. I used to walk around, I'd go home and I'd think, oh Lord, that church is getting awful heavy. And then I realized that church ain't my church. It's God's church. I don't have to bear the burden. I'm just to do what he tells me to do and let it alone. And God always works it out. You know what? Do you have a burden this morning that you've been carrying around? A burden. Somebody rubbed you the wrong way. Something's happening in your life that you need to, man, you just don't know how you're going to make it through it. Financially, maybe. Marriage problem, maybe. Whatever problem it may be. Sin problem. You don't have to carry it if you'll turn it over to God. God says, bring your burden to him, and you'll have rest. Do you have problems that you don't know how to cope with? A young lady was telling me not long back, said, Preacher, I got pressures on my life that you wouldn't understand. I said, oh, wouldn't I? I said, why don't you share your pressures? Well, I just got so many of them. I said, have you turned them over to God? Well, he's probably not interested in my prayer. Yes, he is. You see, that's your problem, isn't it? That's our problem. We think, Lord, I got myself into this pressure. I got to get myself out, and we can't do it. But when we turn it over to God and say, Lord, I've got fears in my life that I can't handle. I've got doubts in my life that I don't know. Lord, I've got trials coming up in my life and tribulations in my life. And you're saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. And God says, I can, I can, I can. And matter of fact, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And the trouble is, we won't turn it over to God. But yet God says, turn it over to me. I know our young people face a lot of problems today and pressure today. There's all kinds of peer pressure. I know, boy, that is unreal today to put up with what they have to put up at school. Man, there's the liquor crowd, there's a dope crowd, there's a sex crowd, and they all are being pressured to have sex before marriage or to take this dope or drink this drink. And, you know, if you're missing out on life, they say. Let me tell you something, you ain't missing out on nothing. Every one of those that are doing that, their lives are falling apart at the seams and they just don't know it. You see? All the things you see, the damaging things, that young man last week that ran through all them people in that crowd in that truck, his life was falling apart because he's in the wrong lifestyle. As bad as the pressure is, if you will remain faithful to God, He will lead you straight through this old crooked world. You ask somebody that's saved. You ask somebody that's born again. Yes, I have pressures. Yes, I have problems. But I know what? My God is able to keep me. My God is sufficient to sustain me. My God is able to save me. I just want to serve Him with all my life. John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." Do you believe that? It's in the Bible. I didn't make it up. God didn't save you to let you be overcome by Satan. God didn't save you to let you be thrown down. He saved you to lift you up out of that miry pit. And He says, "Listen, little children, you are an overcomer in life. I will sustain you if you will turn your life to me." Are you happy today in Christ? Amen. I am happy in Christ Jesus. I tell you, I couldn't be more happy. Then there's a succumbing grace. In Psalm 23:4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley." I love that verse. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You see, death is just a valley. A valley is, you can go through it. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? Thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, the psalmist is aware of death. He's very aware of death. We're all going to die. God doesn't come back and rapture us out of this place. You're going to die. But you don't have to fear that, because He says, death is a valley. You're going to go through it. But He said, "I will go with you. I will be with you." Now, I watched a precious dear lady not long ago. I watched her go through the valley of death, and God's grace was with her. And you know what she sang? When she was about to die, the last song she sang was "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." And then she died. Oh, I know God's grace was with her. Man, we're all going to die. Have you been saved? Are you secure? Are you serving? Is God's grace sustaining you this morning? Some of you are facing decisions you've got to make. I pray that you'll make the right decision. Stay faithful to God's word. Once the dying man asked the preacher. The preacher had come to be by his side when he died at his home. And he said, "Preacher, I got one question." He says, "What is death like? What is death like, preacher?" And the preacher sat there and he was thinking about death. And then he heard something outside the door. And it sounded like scratching on the door. And the man says, "Oh, don't worry about that, preacher. That's my dog. He's scratching on the door trying to get in." And then he says, "You know what? Why is he trying to get in here?" And the man says, "Well, he's trying to get in here because I'm his master, and he wants to be near me." And he said, "That's a good example of death. God is there, and you're scratching on the door, death. You don't know what heaven's going to be like, but you know your master's there, and that's good enough. Your master's there." And that should be good enough for all of us, folks. God is in the heaven. And the Bible says we are to be looking for the blessed hope. The blessed hope is Jesus Christ. And the glorious appearing is Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for that day. I don't know about you, but, you know, I don't want to die tomorrow. I don't want to die next year. I want to live as long as God gives me, but I'm not afraid of it because I know that's where my master's at. That's where my father's at. And Jesus will give us the grace to go through this valley of the shadow of death. And he'll always be there. And all we must do is go through that door to the other side. The Bible says in Psalm 116, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Your death, if you're saved, is something very special to the Lord. It's him calling you home. "Come home, my child." Oh, "Welcome, my child. Thy good and faithful servant." Let me ask you once again, and I'll close. If you're here today, do you know the saving grace of God? He brings it to us, to all men. Are you resting in that saving grace, secure in Christ? If you are you serving God with all your heart? I know something. He will sustain you, and you will be an overcomer because his grace will see you home. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, the decision you need to make is for Christ, like a little child. "Lord, I don't know exactly everything about this book, the Bible, but Lord, I know that you died for me. And I want to give you my life. I want to serve you with my life." And that's all you have to do is come like a little child. Say, "Lord, I believe you died for me. I accept the gift of salvation." Maybe you're here and you're a church member. And you haven't been serving. You haven't been committed. You're not doing what God wants you to do. Would you come? The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. You know it. Maybe you're here and you're a visitor and you're looking for a church home. And some people like to visit for a year before they join. Some people like to visit for 6 months. Some people, maybe a month. Some people I've had occasion on the first time they visited have joined our church because the Holy Spirit spoke to their heart and they said, "This is where we belong." I believe that family sitting right there. They was going to look at a church and they was going to look at different churches. But the day they came, God spoke to them and they looked at each other and said, "This is where God wants us," and they joined. They've been faithful ever since. They even come on Wednesday night. Isn't that great? Hey, by the way, Wednesday night crowd's growing. Brother Bill's teaching Wednesday night. Brother Perry taught Wednesday night. Brother Tim's going to teach in August. And Brother Jay, if it feels like you're going to teach in September, praise God. You don't have to listen to me on Wednesday night. That'll be motive to come. But if you're here this morning and God says, this is where you belong, would you come? I'll be glad to share with you how you can join in with our fellowship. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the saving grace. Lord, that you give to all men, not just to some, but to all men. It's available. All they have to do is accept that gift of salvation. And Lord, if there's someone here, let them come today. Whatever decision needs to be made, Lord, we pray that we'll make that right decision and give you praise for it, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.